Good morning. The readings today are as in the paper, not up there. So first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before God and our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we have had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. And the gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, the question about paying taxes. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our minds and hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, and you are our liberator. Amen. Nothing new about the life of Jesus. Herodians, they are supporting Herod Antipas. Pharisees, they don't like the Roman Empire. They plotted to enter Jesus. They sent their disciples among the Herodians, and hear what they try to put up. "You are sincere and honest You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You show no deference, for you do not regard partialities. This is a really good one. They start with put him up there, and then come the missiles, as I see it. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Up to this point, we have seen Jesus as it were, on attack. He had spoken three parables which he had plainly indicated that the offer of Jews, leaders, are not up to good or anything good. The parable of two sons in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. Jewish leaders appear under the guise of unsatisfactory son who did not do his father's will. And follow from that the parable of wicked tenants, chapter 21, verse 33 to 46. They, the Jewish leaders, are the wicked tenants. In the parable of the king's feast, chapter 22, verse 1 to 14, they are the contempt guests who refuse the invitation. Now we see the Jewish leaders launching their counterattack, and they do so by directing at Jesus' carefully formulated equation. They focus on these questions in public in front of the people so that the people will hear what Jesus will say. Hopefully he will discredit himself by his own words in the presence of the people. The Pharisee asked the question, is it or is not lawful to pay tribute to Rome? There are in fact three regular taxes which the Roman government had put in place. One is ground tax, the other one is the income tax, and the last one is the pool tax. The ground tax, a man must pay the government 1/10 of the grain and 1/5 of the oil and wine which they produced. This tax was paid partially in kind and partially in money equivalent. As far as the income tax, which was 1% of the man's income, and there was the pool tax. This tax is to be paid by every person. From the male is from age 14 to 65, and female from age 12 to 65. And it amounted to 1 denarius, which is on those days, they call it tribute tax. So today, the Pharisee, we're talking about the tribute tax, the tax for everyone, man and women. This is a dilemma for Jesus. If he said that it is unlawful to pay taxes, they would promptly report him to the Roman government. And maybe he will be certainly arrested quickly. And if he said that it was lawful to pay tax, he would stand discredit in the eyes of many of the people. Not only that, because the people resent tax, on everyone resent taxes because of their religious reasons. So today, as we hear this, the seriousness of this attack is shown by the fact that the Pharisees and Herodians combined to make it For normally these two would have been a bitter opposition. But the Pharisees, a religious group, opposed the Roman occupation of Palestine, and Herodians, a political party, support Herod Antipas. They come together because they want to trap Jesus. In other words, they come in common in hatred of Jesus and a common desire to eliminate him. Thinking they have a foolproof plan to corner him together, their representatives ask him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Rome?" As we can see it, the Pharisees were not motivated by love for God's law, and the Herodians were not motivated by love for Roman justice. Jesus' answers exposed their evil motives and embarrassed them both. Jesus was wise. We know the story. He asked to see the denarius, and he asked the question, which was stamped on the emperor's. Jesus followed and said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." To me, this is a unique wisdom of Jesus. It's unique because he laid down a timeless principles which never goes out of date. It's emphasis that the Christians has a double citizenship. We as Christians of the country, of the world in which we live, we owe to this country what the law has asked us to do. We know the services in this country, but at the same time, it doesn't stop us from standing up for those who are marginalized. Jesus didn't say this and forget about everybody else who are falling onto the cracks of not looking after and cared for. But today I want us to focus. Against Jesus and his teaching is not new. And these days, I believe that Jesus is out of the picture. But I believe his teaching is timeless. It teaches about love. The core of teaching is love, regardless of who we are. So the real Christian in this teaching this morning is about the citizenship of this world and the citizenship of God's kingdom. If we think about what Paul is talking about in the church of Thessalonians, he talks about three things, and I want us to think about it. In verse 2, Paul said, "We always give thanks to God for all of you are mentioned in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." First one, your work of faith. The second one, your labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that I think is the same as what Jesus was saying. If we are Christians and we are citizens of this world and the citizen of God's kingdom, we have to have these three characters: worked of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about the first one, faith. As he said, we remember before our God, the Father, work produces or inspire by faith. There is nothing tells us more about a person than the way in which he or she works. They maybe work in fear of the whip or the penalty. Or she or he maybe work for hope of gaining something. Or maybe work for a grim sense of duty. Or maybe work inspired, enthused by faith. If we think about a person, the faith is that this is the task given by God and that he or she is working not for people, not for a show, but for faith in God. Someone has said that sign of true blessings and dedication and commitment is when a man can find glory in toil. Someone has said, true blessings, dedication, and commitment is when a person can find glory in toil. The labor stimulated by love. There is the labor which is prompted by love. A story about Bernard Newman tells how once he stayed in a Belgian's house. All the time that he was there, the daughter of the man he stayed with was stitching away at a dress. Then Bernard said to her, "Don't you ever get tired of sewing?" She said, "Oh no, you see, this is my wedding dress. Work done for love always has a glory." We heard about Mother Teresa. Her commitment to work for the poor, the untouchable of India, give her the strength to continue regardless of the situation and the people around her. She strived to care even though the person will die in 10 minutes or half an hour or a day later. But at least she gave them a decent time of peace and filled a touch and love and care. The last one is hope. Your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is endurance, there is patience founded on hope. The story about Alexander the Great was setting out in his campaign, be divided all his possessions among his friends. Someone said, "But you are keeping nothing for yourself." "Oh yes, I am," he said. "I have kept my hope." A man can endure anything so long as he has hope, for then he is walking not to the night, but to the dawn. Today, there are traps around us to challenge us in the faith that we have in God through Christ. There are traps to ignore the truth about the love of God through Christ in the world. There is none other like Christ. There are so many people whom they show love but they stem that love from Christ, who God given to the world, and he died on the cross. And he keeps saying, as the soldiers nail him onto the cross, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." If we are entrapped because of our faith in Christ, let us bear the cross, as he said, "If you want to follow me, you carry your cross and follow me." Today, we are challenged to endure, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the work that we are called to do is inspired by our faith in God and Christ. And we have to labor, not only for ourselves, but for those who are around us. And not only for the one that we know, but everyone who needs that support and love and care, to know that God's peace be with them. Because our hands is God's hands. You and I, our voice is God's voice. If we speak peace, love, truth to those in front of us. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.